I think that's what Paul's saying here. If you're interested in going to the next step, this is where we go. You ever thought about that? What's the next step? What's the next step in my life, in my spiritual life? Where should I be going? Maybe it is we can take this letter to the Philippians and we can see everything that's going on. We can take a look at that context. And we say, you know what? The Philippians were generous in a way that I have never been generous. And so that's something we need to work on. Well, maybe it is that you say, they were invested in the ministry in a way that I've never been invested in. They were out there, they were pouring in their time, they were pouring in their money just for the advancement of the gospel. Maybe that's you, that you've never been there, and you can take a challenge from the Philippians by that message. These people were trying to comfort, they were ministering. They were out there, and he says, so if there is any encouragement in Christ. This encouragement in Christ, what is it? If I were to say if there's any encouragement, since there is encouragement in Christ, how would I explain that to my 5 or 7-year-old? If there's encouragement in Christ. What were these people doing? These people were trying to minister to Paul. They were trying to lift him up. They were trying to continue. They were building each other up. Isn't that amazing? That even in a hard time, they were thinking less about themselves and they were thinking about Christ. They were thinking about what they should be doing. And so he's saying, since there is this encouragement in Christ, maybe that's where you are. Maybe it is that you think, okay, Pastor, I don't know what to do in this body. I don't know how to serve. Maybe that's you. Maybe you've been there. Well, one of the things that we can do, being in Christ, okay, we have the ability to encourage one another in Christ. We can talk about the things that Jesus has done in our lives, and we can go tell that to other people and help encourage them. Isn't that an amazing thing? Maybe that's where you are. Pastor, how can I serve? I can go encourage other people. I can look across the auditorium and I can see family members in this church. Okay, when I say family, we're here. We're a family. We're a people that have been called out to serve Christ. And how do I serve? Well, I encourage people. Maybe that's where you're at. The Philippians, I think they had already been there. They had already been working on this. They already knew this. They already knew how to encourage people. They're looking for the next thing. He says, so there's any comfort in love. Any comfort in love. They were worried not only just for, let's call it, the encouragement, the psychological, trying to keep each other positive, trying to keep each other focused on who Jesus is. Is there any encouragement in Christ? Is there any comfort in love, or since there is, okay? Be careful how you read through that. A lot of times when you look in look at other languages, since and if are the same, are translated the same. We just have to figure out which context. If it's conditional, if there is there, but this is going to be more since there is, this evidence is there, okay? Since there is comfort in love, all right? Being there for people, not only just the encouragement to help keep people pushing forward, but this comfort that comes by sacrificing of yourself to help other people. So when we think of love, love is an action word. It's not a feeling word. It's an action word. And so these people had been involved physically in bringing comfort to Paul in his time of need. Right? Maybe that's where you're at. Maybe it's something you need to help people. You need to help get people encouraged, bring encouragement, talk to them about where you're at, or maybe it is that you need to do something for them. Then he says, if there is any, excuse me, any participation in the Spirit, that participation right there, that word participation is actually koinonia. Maybe your Bible has it translated fellowship. You know one of the main purposes of the church, you know what it is? fellowship. Now think about back in Acts 2:42, and the apostles and the church continued in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and prayers. Right? And so fellowship, being together, if there's going to be this participation, if there's going to be this back and forth, guess what? The church at Philippi, they were a close-knit group. Not that they were so close-knit that they weren't accepting other people, but they were just had this fellowship that they loved to be involved in each other's lives. Now, maybe that's where you need to step up. Maybe that's where you need to be. I take the church at Philippi, take it as a challenge. Say, where am I in my service? Am I encouraging people? Am I loving people? Am I sacrificing of myself? Am I really in fellowship? This can be a difficult one. We don't necessarily, we're Americans. We like to keep our distance. And we like our 3 feet. Well, you think that's funny? You don't like that? You have closer than 3 feet? No? Okay. All right. Okay. I had a missionary from the Netherlands come to my church in a previous ministry. And he was talking about space. And I thought, yeah, I know all about the space. I've heard it before. And I'll be all right. You know, and he was demonstrating. He says, Pastor, come on up here. He's demonstrating this. He says, Americans like 3 feet of space. And he held us. We like, you know, to be at arm's reach. You know, don't come any closer. And he said, but Europeans, where he was, he says, they like being close. And I thought, yeah, okay, but he got close. I mean, really close. And I was like, yeah, all right, okay. But this church at Philippi, now we're Americans, so we like our space, but we need to be thinking about how connected am I with the other people in my church, in my family? And for some of us, that's a little on the difficult side, because maybe it is that you live in the further reaches of our area. Maybe it is that you're newer. Maybe it is that you're not a part of certain, I don't want to call them cliques because we're not really cliquey, but you just don't seem to fit sometimes. And that can be a difficult thing. But the challenge is for us to do what? To get into each other's lives, to have that participation or that fellowship in the Spirit. Because that's who we are. We're part of the family of God. We're brothers and sisters in Christ. He says, if there's any encouragement in Christ, if there's any comfort and love, if there's any participation in the Spirit, then he says, if there's any affection and sympathy. Now, this affection and sympathy, this is the feelings, the yearning. Okay? Affection is the idea that your bowels are you know, when they talk about in the old time, they used to say they loved you from here, right? Not your heart, but your here. Yeah, from your gut, right? That's what we're talking about. And these people had been together and they were connected enough that they actually yearned for each other. Okay? They wanted to be with other Christians. I fail sometimes in the area because guess what? I'm around Christians a lot. But learning when to see when people are yearning for Christian fellowship. I was so last week was my 20th class reunion, and it was an amazing, it was completely different than I thought it would be. But what happened one day, they had some of the people said, hey, let's go golf. And I said, great, I love golf, so I'm going to go golf. And there's this one kid there, I should call him a kid, he's my age. There's one kid there, we call each other kid, that's the funny part. And yeah, I didn't hang out with him much in high school. He was pretty popular and I was kind of a band geek, so didn't in high school it didn't work out that way. And I was golfing with some other guys we golf, we finish, and I was about ready to go around again, and I went to see if anybody wanted to go around golfing again, and I said, anybody going around? He said, no, nobody's going around, we're all going to go we're just hanging out until it's time to go. I said, oh. So, and this one guy, he says, why don't you hang with us? Oh, I'm a popular kid now. I didn't think about it. They were giving him a hard time, and the other guys that were there, they were giving him a hard time and telling stories and stuff like that. later that night at dinner, he came up to me and he says, look, he says, I don't hang around these people. I'm like, well, you live right here. Said, yeah, I don't hang around these guys anymore. I said, really? He said, yeah. And he said, in fact, you know, God's got a hold of me, and he's the elder in his church. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And he was telling me about how that it, at one time, it was really, really, really lonely for him. And I tell you this story, not because it's a cool story about how somebody's come to the Lord and he's moved along and matured in his life, that he's now an elder in his church. But I say that to be looking out for people who are looking for Christian fellowship, because they don't always come out and say it. And I, as I was driving home and I was thinking about the weekend and everything that had gone on, I was like, you know what? I missed an amazing opportunity for a fellowship with this guy, because that's what he was asking for. I missed it. But as Christians, there's this yearning we should have to be with other Christians. The Philippians had it. And because they had spent time together, because they had that fellowship from the Spirit, because they had worked together, they had that comfort and love, that sacrifice, that somebody's going to be there. They'd encourage one another. Because they had that, they felt this yearning for each other, that they wanted to be with each other. That's what he's saying here. If there's any sympathy, if there's any, let me look at the other word. The Greek word I have flashing in my head, not the English one. Affection and sympathy, that's what he says. These things are there. They're evident. Therefore, he says, complete my joy. Complete my joy. What does he mean by complete my joy? Maybe your Bible says fill it up. At this point, Paul is so excited for the Philippians. He's so excited for this church. They are growing. They are moving forward. And even in the face of this tough time, Paul is in prison. They're beginning to see some of the evidence that, you know what, persecution could come. They're beginning to see these things. They had this is a church that grew up in persecution. Do you remember the Philippian jailer and everything that happened there? Okay, you can read about it in Acts 16. These people grew, this church came out of some hard times, and they had grown together, and they continue to follow the Lord. Paul says, look, you're ready to go to the next level. What does it mean? What is the epitome of this? Bring it up to the next level. What is it? He says, fulfill my joy, have the same mind, the same love, and being in full accord with one each other, of one another. Top it off. The story with my friend who's an elder in his church is not the only story I had last weekend. I was at supper time, and a couple of my friends from high school had, friends with them on Facebook and different things, and we communicate occasionally, like once every 5 years or something. And I had been kind of following them and what's going on, and these same people who had gotten upset with me for talking about the gospel with another one of my friends, they are now serving in a church. Very, very active in their church. And it's an amazing thing. My major plan was to go and talk to them, and I wanted to hear their story. And there's another guy I knew who grew up near me, and I knew he had a story. And so I only wanted to talk to three people all weekend. And this is out of a class. Hardly any of us served the Lord when we were growing up in high school and stuff like that. But what I found was that we were sitting there at supper, and another kid that had grown up down the road from me, grew up playing in his house and doing all that kind of swimming in the creek together, he comes up and he says, "Hey, Shannon, how are you doing?" "What's up?" "Okay, well, you're a little early." I said, "Hey, man, how's it going?" And he says, "Great." He says, "So what are you doing now?" I said, "I'm a pastor." And he said, "Me too." You could have knocked me over at that time. This is a person I never thought in my wildest dreams would ever be a pastor. He was a youth pastor there. And I thought, holy smokes, what is going on? So my friends are serving in a church. This guy, I've got two or three friends. I got this other guy, he comes up and he starts talking to me about what he's doing, serving as a pastor. I said, "That's amazing." And all I could think is, what an amazing God that we serve, right? What an amazing God to see the transformation with people that I don't even communicate with anymore. Do you realize that we serve an amazing God? And those prayers that you might have prayed for people a long time ago, God answers those. Paul says, "Complete my joy, fill it up to the top." I was completely floored about everything that God had done in a class of ungodly kids. Paul says this, "Church, if you want to go to the next level, if you want to have that experience of completing somebody else's joy, this is the epitome of that." Okay, we can all do these things. We can all encourage one another in Christ, right? That's not so hard. We can tell our stories. We can tell about what Jesus does. We can read each other's scriptures. We know how to help people, whether it's providing food or shelter or the shirt off our back. We know how to do that, right? We know what fellowship means. We know how to be together. But let me ask you this. Do we know what it means to be of the same mind? Because now, that's taking everything that Paul has said and it's taking it up to the next level. This is where Paul wants the church at Philippi to go, to the next level. And that means being of the same mind. Now, what does it mean to be of the same mind? Does it mean we have to agree about everything? No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It doesn't mean that we have to all like the Hawkeyes or joking. It doesn't mean that we all have to think the same way about everything. Okay? But what does it mean for a church to have the same mind? Okay, the focus is on God. Same goals. We're all moving the same way together. So what does that mean? What is necessary for having the same mind? If we're all going to move the same way, we're all going to look at God, we're all going to keep going in the same direction, what does it mean for us? Somebody can cheat and look ahead. What do you think? What does it mean that we need in our lives? Okay, we got to talk about it. Okay, we need to be in agreement. To be in the Word. Good. Be of the same mind. Okay, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord, one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count each one more significant than yourself. All right, now this is kind of where the rubber hits the road here. If we want to be like this church, if we want to be Grace Life, we have to have the same mind. And that's difficult. It means we need to have good fellowship. We need to be together. We need to be talking about the word. We need to be moving in the same direction. Right? But it means we have to have humility. Why is it that Paul would move right to humility? What do you think that Paul would move right to humility? Because I think humility is one of those hard things. Especially when it comes to the family and how we think the family ought to go, right? We can think of these in easy terms. And when I say easy terms, these are things that we don't, at least I don't think we battle with here. But for example, a lot of churches battle over music. It's a sad thing. And they have great big huge splits over whether they should have a hymn book or not have a hymn book. Or whether they should sing all hymns or part hymns or no hymns. Or whether or not they should, you know, some churches a long time ago used to argue whether or not they should even have drums on the stage. Okay? Now, you guys smile because you've been through that stuff, and it's really a sad one when a church splits over that. But you know why? You know why those things bother? Because there's nothing about whether or not to have drums on the stage when you're talking about the Bible. That's not in there. The Bible didn't come with headphones, so there's not a particular style that's more godly than another one. Do you know why we fight over things like music? Because it's pride. We think differently. But that's, you know, sometimes it's hidden in good intentions. For example, why don't we sing this hymn anymore? Because it really speaks a lot. It's got great theology, and it speaks a lot to me. Yeah, it does. So we need to throw this hymn stuff out there. But really, I would imagine that the real impetus behind the way we fight is because of what? What does James say? From where comes fighting and warrings from among you? Don't they come from among your own members and war amongst yourselves? And then James says, you adulterers and adulteresses, because they're committing spiritual adultery. They're putting themselves above everybody else. Paul says, if we're going to move to the next level, and I know music isn't an issue. If we're going to go to the next level, who is it about? Well, it's not about who? Me. Right? We have things that we want to see happen, and this is part of the deal. If we're going to move in a certain direction, be of the same mind, sometimes it means, you know what? This thing that I think we need to do, because if you asked everybody here, there would probably be 100 different ways. Among 50 people, there'd be 100 different ways to do ministry, at least, or things that we should be doing, or things that, but we need to get together, we need to talk about things, and we need to go a certain direction, and we need to say, you know what, it's not about me. It's about other people. Paul says this, if you want to make my joy complete, you want to fill it up, then we need to stress. We need to be of one mind, have one goal, or moving the same direction, the same goals. He says, having the same love, the same passions, being in full accord. Now, it doesn't take long to fill up an accord, does it? Okay, I was looking for the car guy here. I thought of that just for you. Being in full, in one accord with each other, and of one mind. He says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit. This is the opposite of humility, right? You know, selfish ambition is, it actually comes from a word that is used other places in extra-biblical literature, that is used for people who who unfairly promote themselves in a political contest. Selfish ambition. I want to be the top dog. Conceit is actually the root word of that. Conceit is glory, but it's glory of myself. So selfish ambition and conceit is lifting me up, doing the things that I want to do when I need to do them. But if we're going to be a church and we're going to move together, we have to be together. We have to be talking about Christ. We have to be moving together in discipleship, bringing each other along. Let each of you look not only on his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Looking out for them, having their concerns. He says, in fact, have this mind in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, okay, he was without body, he was limitless, thought being equal with God not a thing to be grasped at or violently held on to, but took upon himself the form of a servant. He set aside his deity. He set aside the things that he had the right to worship and different things like that. He stuffed himself into a human body. He was 100% God, 100% man, all at the same time. Took upon himself the form of a servant. And being found in the fashion of a man, he became obedient, even to the point of death. This is the mind that each of us should have. It's extremely difficult. So why in the world would we want to do this? Why in the world would we want to get together and to have this close fellowship? Why would we want to get together and be of the same mind, have the same goals? Why would we want to do that? Well, it's easy. Because Jesus. Because Jesus says, look, I want you to be like me, and this is what I did. I set aside my rights for other people, even to the point of death on the cross. And so it says, therefore, God has given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue on the earth and under the earth shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Because Jesus. But, because Jesus. So let me encourage you, church. Look around. Maybe find some people that you're not in their lives. And get in their life. Because Jesus. You know, kind of, I started thinking about this passage, the context and being like Christ, and how that it relates to being together and taking communion. And I think Communion has become a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And so we take some of those things sometimes and we focus on certain aspects, right? But what is it that the Lord's Supper was all about? What was the Lord's Supper all about? Well, I want you to think about this. What do people do at meals? They eat, okay? Thank you, Captain Obvious. Besides eating, what do? They talk, they fellowship. Now, when Jesus was with the disciples, do you know what was important to him? This was his last supper with the disciples. This was his last supper with the disciples. And he was interested in being with them. Now we call the Lord's Supper a memorial. We're to remember Christ. But I think that we ought to think about how it applies, how that supper applies, how that fellowship applies to us. That is remembering Christ. Not just in the partaking of the elements, but it's the fellowship which is important. Which is why, when you look in 1 Corinthians, Paul gives the warning he does. You know why? Because the church at Corinth, unlike the church at Philippi, the church at Corinth was a divided church. They would get together and eat, and they would bring their food at a potluck, and they would sit it right there in front of them, and when the certain people that they liked went by, hey, you want some of my food? And they said, great. And then the next guy in line would say, oh, thank you. Nope, you cannot have any. I don't like you. That is exactly what the church at Corinth was doing. Somebody would bring a drink, and they'd say, this is for me because I like only me, and they would be drunk. And because of what they were doing at the church at Corinth, Paul gives this warning. Don't take the body and blood of Jesus Christ unworthily. It wasn't necessarily about all the sin in their life. It was their sin of not fellowshipping. The vision in the body. And so when we take and remember the Lord's Supper, it's not just about partaking of the body and the blood, it's partaking the body and the blood together. Or the bread and the wine, or the bread and the juice, whatever you want to call it. It's about fellowship. It's about knowing each other. And so that's why when we take the fellowship, we take this, if there's any divisions among the people, you want to stop. For that reason, many are sick and weakly. That's what Paul says. Because they had divided the body instead of bringing the body together. And so I'm going to ask the guys, come on up. I've asked Patrick and Nick, Phil. Roger, could you come up too? And I want us to think about each other. As we think about Christ, as we think about what Jesus did, let me get to the right places here. Think about your relationship with those around you. Think about the other Christians near you. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for your Son and what he did and the things that we get to remember. And I pray that if there's anybody here that has anything against somebody else, that today would be the day that they get that right. That they would make it a part of their goal, their plan, their passion to make sure that they're right with every person here at Grace Life, because that's the way you want it. Help us to be of one mind. In Jesus' name, amen.